Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And Chris, this morning we're joined by Judith Dunlap. She's a catechetical consultant and a writer for St. Anthony Messenger Press. Yes, the same St. Anthony Messenger Press that brings you the daily saint of the day. She's been involved in religious education for almost 30 years. Author of Bringing Home the Gospel, The Year of Luke, Practical Catechesis, Visions and Tasks for Religious Educators, and in the Handing on the Faith series as well. She and her husband live in Centerville, Ohio, have 5 children, 7 grandchildren. And today Judith is going to be joining us to talk about the book Bringing Home the Gospel, The Year of Matthew. This is a weekly journal for Catholic parents. Judith, welcome to the program. A delight to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
I always love talking to authors that are willing to provide for us wonderful resources, not only to just to be able to study Scripture, but to break it open for our families and ultimately then for ourselves. And you do a beautiful job in the weekly journal, Bringing Home the Gospel, especially this one on the Year of Matthew.
Thank you very much.
What led you to begin a project like this?
Well, raising my own children and working in parish ministry for almost 30 years, I've worked with families and I know how important everything you said is, how important it is for parents to share their faith with their children. And but I also know how difficult it is to do that. I mean, how do you just sit down and start sharing your faith? And the Gospels, the Sunday Gospels, are a great way to do that. So looking over my whole life and the way I reflect on Scripture, I've taken the Sunday Gospels and just done some reflection for either the parent themselves or as a mother or father of children and given them a chance to take that gospel and look at it for their own lives and then offer some questions that they can ask their children and get into a discussion with and then reflect further, you know, write down their thoughts and journal. But primarily, I think if there were anything I wanted parents to do, it would be to find some time each week, even if it's in the car coming home from church and have read what the reflection is and then just ask that question I give after the reflection to get the family talking about that gospel.
Well, I think it's also really important to maybe even do it before you go to church. I mean, maybe in the week leading up to...
Exactly. I say after because I remember the reality of my weeks. I worked in parish, so Sunday mornings were sometimes a work day for me, and when you have the kids in the car, you have them captive, you know, and mm-hmm. that's always a good time, even, and I've talked to people, just that time coming home, but you're absolutely right, Chris, to focus on it before would be absolutely ideal, and then when you go to church, you can listen to that scripture, and it really takes on meaning for you.
This time of year is a great time to start, too, because the church gives us this wonderful cycle of readings that it will begin always that first Sunday of Advent, and we kind of enter into a whole new year, and the year of Matthew is a very special year to be in, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly is. He has so many insights for us, and Advent is. It's coming upon us quicker than we know, but I also designed this book so that, you know, you can pick it up any time during the year. I always start, each of my books start with Jesus' birth and end with Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, so that someone who buys the book in January, for example, can just start it out and read the Gospels of Matthew, whether it's a cycle or not in our church.
And finding that time to even spend, I mean, how long do you think, average, Judith, would someone spend in reflection with your kids or even with yourself when they follow your format?
The way I've seen people use it is they'll sit down with it, and sometimes a father and mother will do this together and read it together and talk about it themselves first, or even if it's just one parent who reads it and thinks about it, and then, you know, there are questions in there to look at your own faith. Do that part first so that you've reflected on the scripture in your own faith. And then go back to that question that's addressed to the whole family. Reflect on it themselves and then gather the children together and read that scripture again. If you have a good children's Bible, read it from that children's Bible. And then read the reflection to them, because I think even young children can get some fruit from the reflections that are written there. And then they'll know the direction the question's taken, and then do that discussion. I would think a half hour with a family would be plenty of time for that.
And really,
to put it in a ritual, to begin with the name of the Father and the Son in a prayer, and to end again with the Our Father together, holding hands, would be wonderful. Ritual is so important in our families today.
Oh, I think it is too, establishing it, a rhythm for the kids and for ourselves.
Exactly. That's why I tell parents, I do a lot of talking to parent groups, and I tell them it's so important. If you look at the studies, being committed to family is the most important thing you can do, which means to find time with your family. I just read this recently. Today, you can no longer presume that family happens. Too often we find that what we end up with is a group of people who are living under the same roof, sharing the same finances, but going about their lives and never sharing their time together. I think years ago, you had a mother and a father and children, and you had family, but that's not our reality today. Today, you have to be committed to family. You have to take time and set time. And I'll tell parents, you look at your palm pockets or your schedules and your planners, and you say, when can we have a half hour? When can we have an hour this week, 2 hours this week? And you plan it, even if it means keeping kids up from sleep an extra time, an extra hour. It's just that important that you find time to be family together every single week.
Well, if you don't, someone else will take the time from your children, and it's either going to be on the internet or on a television show or somebody text messaging. It's amazing the influences that can be in our children's lives, and yet we're willing to give all that time over because we have a television show we need to watch.
Yes.
Or we have some other thing, but really in our lives, if anything ever happened to that child, what would you say would be the greatest loss you've ever experienced?
My goodness. And that's why it's important to plan it and to make Wednesday night at 8 o'clock our time together. And I know in my own family, when I watch my oldest son, he travels so much. But to then find time on the weekend, Sunday, after Mass, we sit together and we spend 1 hour together. That has to be sacred time, and it has to be something that's planned and put in our calendars as important as any doctor visit we have, any appointment we have for work. It's just absolutely crucial.
I think what's so great about having a book like yours, Judith, that kind of gives us some reflections to kind of help train our minds to what to look for when we read Scripture.
Right.
And I think that is really important for us to have this as foundationally, especially as parents. Mm-hmm. But also, I think an important thing that we can't be afraid to do is to take that gospel that you've, you know, pointed out in each section and just read it, and then ask kids, what did you hear God say? What is God saying to you? And then be quiet and let them say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your reflection is something that can help enhance what they've experienced. It trains them to listen for God to speak to them in that Scripture.
That's an absolutely wonderful idea, Chris. And I liked especially what you said about listening, and that means becoming comfortable with silence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to paraphrase the gospel for them, read it, make sure they hear the words, but then paraphrase it so they understand it, and then let there be that silence if they need it until they have something to say. That's important. The silences are important to us, too.
I think I came to a greater awareness as I was participating in Children's Liturgy of the Word. I mean, gosh, when we started it in our own parish about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that there's a need for adult facilitators to prepare themselves no matter where that discussion's going to go.
Exactly.
So it's important for us to do the same thing that we're asking our children. We need to sit with these Gospels and we need to think. And as Sister Ann Shields, who is on the radio here with us every day, she talks about chewing on the word.
Oh.
You need to take that into just really little chunks of it and really just chew on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the church gives us that when we have these cycles of reading, and in particular this year of Matthew.
Exactly. And that's what the cycles are for. I was writing an article once on the liturgical year and looking at it as, you know, we repeat Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, and Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. And when you look at it, you see it's a circle, and it's a spiral. It's not a line. each year we read those same Gospels, but there's more and more we can take out of it because we're at a different part in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to realize we find the sacred in our homes, in our cars, wherever we live. Church is where we go to celebrate who we are and what we are and to listen to God's Word together as family and the larger family. But then we come home. It's like Thanksgiving meal in your home, you know, with my adult children. They come and we celebrate, but then they go to their own lives, and I hope they take what it means to be a Dunlap out into that life, you know. That's crucial, that scripture is taken home and it's read again, or it's read before, read it at the celebration, and then read when it's when you're back home again.
It's amazing to me that sometimes people will walk into a Catholic church, and if things aren't in the position they feel they should be in, they'll say, this doesn't even feel like a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we walk into somebody's home, and can they say about us that they know we are a Catholic home?
Oh, exactly. I talk a lot about how important it is, how essential it is for parents to start getting that soil ready for when they go to their catechism classes. And part of that is the environment in the home. What in your home says you're a Catholic home, a Christian home? And that crucifix, the crucifix is so important to us as Catholics. We don't have a cross. We have a crucifix to remind us that we can focus on the body of Christ, reminding us that we are the body of Christ broken. And to have a Bible around, you know, what in your child's room says this is a Catholic child that's in this home? It's very subtle, but that environment's important, but even more important is that those parents witnessing that they believe. I can't say this enough, that if you want God to be a reality in your child's life, they have to know truly that God is a reality in your life. Want them to believe in Jesus Christ, they have to hear you talk about Jesus Christ like you believe in Jesus Christ.
You bet.
And it's so important, too, that the mindset of parents, that somehow they just don't think that dropping your child off at a catechism class on a Wednesday night is, well, I've given them religion. Or that somehow it's the responsibility of the parish to educate your child. At baptism, we made a commitment to assist the parent, but the parent is the primary catechist, and their home is the domestic church. All a catechist can do is enhance what the parent should be doing already Monday through Sunday in as far as their instruction. And this is a great tool in assisting in that responsibility that the parents have to break open the gospel for their children.
Thank you. And that's exactly what it's meant to be, a tool that gives them an opportunity to a starting point, and then to carry on that conversation all week. You know, just how do you start talking about Jesus Christ? Just by sharing that scripture. You know? How do you pray? By sitting down and praying together and letting them see you make the sign of the cross and letting them hear you, the words coming from you. And always, always, it's sharing, parents sharing their faith with their children, as well as listening to the children sharing their faith. I'll always remind parents of that, because if we're just trying to teach our children at home, that's homeschooling. That's not faith formation. That's not family catechesis. Family catechesis is parents learning from children as much as children learning from their parents.
Right. Now, Judith, at least to me, and I know from time to time it's a difficulty, nothing says commitment quite like journaling. And you know, it kind of leads me to the question, how did you come up with that idea to add that journaling element to these gospel reflections?
I have never been a journaler. Raising five children, and at one point I had a 3 under 3 and a 5-year-old, I just never could find the time to journal. But I started keeping a Christmas journal for myself once a year. I write extensively about the year. But there was one period in my life when I was expecting Philip, and I had a 3-year-old and a year and a half old baby. Not even a year and a half. James was 13 months, and then I had one in first grade. And Roger was traveling, and there was no time. And I journaled for 3 months. And what I want to tell you is, when I pull that journal out and I read it, I'm taken back to those days. And I can feel the feelings I had there. And even more important, I did this one year. I pulled it out, and I read it to my adult children, and they couldn't believe it.
Mm.
That's what life was like. Even to the point of, you cook dinner every single night. You know, because in it I talk about how do I organize having a full meal every night when And, you know, and those are the days when we did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it gave them an awareness of what their growing up was like, and it gave them an appreciation, and it gave me an appreciation of where God was in my life during those days. So I wrote this thinking, if I had something like this and could commit just once a week to writing up what happened that week, what were the big things that happened that week, what am I looking forward to next week, I think I could have committed to once a week journaling. I know I didn't have time for daily journaling, but then you have this to keep for all of your life and look back at and say, this was the year of Matthew 2008 in my life, you know, and you can go back to that and remember where your children were and where you were in your faith life and in your home life, too.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been talking this morning with Judith Dunlap, author of the book, Bringing Home the Gospel, The Year of Matthew, a weekly journal for Catholic parents. And Judith, we want to thank you so much for spending time with us, but before we let you go, any final thoughts or observations? Let people know where, in addition to their local Catholic bookseller, of course, they could pick up a copy of your book.
Yes, they can call 1-800-488-0488 and order it through the phone, or they can go online to www.americancatholic.org. And that's St. Anthony Messenger's website and their phone line, and they would be happy to send the book on to you.
All right, great.
Thanks for asking.
Not a problem. Judith, we appreciate it so much. Thanks, and God bless.
Thank you. It was good talking to you.